Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Go for it, Mike. I'll comment.
I didn't want to do. Oh, fucking hell! Oh,
I think you need to stick it up further, Mike.
Oh,
I don't think it's going in far enough there, Mike.
Oh,
it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast.
Yeah. Recorded. Not
we're
like
recording, man.
Time. Yeah, you are awesome.
Hey, I am on the ball.
You are on the ball. You look great today. You got a white sort of, is that a long sleeve tee?
Yeah. I'm glad you said I look great because I don't feel it, Mike. I don't feel it.
No?
I don't feel like I look great, Mike, you know?
No, I do. I think you've been putting up a few things on that internet there. You've been Patrick's Day sort of eating chocolate and sort of drinking out of an urn. People's ashes mixed up with water and stuff. Are you not feeling well healthily-wise, or is your head a bit fucked?
No, I feel like I want to... I've been getting back into my exercise routines, but I've been eating too much chocolate as well, Mike, you know? It's... just can't escape. I can't escape the clutches of the chocolate.
No.
Like, I used to think I was addicted to booze. And now I know I said this before, it's the sugar I was addicted to. Sugar in the beer I was addicted to.
Is it better than just to have loads of chocolate and no beer?
Probably.
I don't know. It's just fucking ridiculous, isn't it? Everything you like is fucking bad for you. And speaking of things you like being bad for you, life is bad for you. I might actually do a COVID test while we're here because I'm feeling a little bit fucked.
Oh, bollocks. And are you off today?
I'm off sick today. You might hear it in my voice. I'm a little bit scrapey. And I've had a little bit, I'm very hot now at the
moment. Oh, Jesus.
And I've been doing these fucking things for weeks. Because is there anybody in this sceptered fucking aisle who doesn't have COVID at the moment?
Well, I don't want to brag, but I don't have it. But
don't brag because it's very easy to happen.
Our producer Bergil Firk has it.
He is down with COVID. Yeah, he's a man down. Getting in touch with his garden again. And you know, I saw that text from him, Fergal Burke, our producer, texted us. We have a little group just for those of you, the uninitiated, who don't know what they're talking about, or if anybody's actually listening.
Nobody knows what's going on here, Mike. Let's be honest. We don't. Yeah, the listeners don't.
So Fergal sent this text saying, you know, he's got COVID. His family are away. He's at home sort of self-isolating, watching television, doing a bit of work in the garden. All he wanted was to be listening to RTE Gold, listening to you on RTE Gold at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with nothing else to do. I mean... I know there was an awful lot of shit associated with COVID, but fucking hell, they were the days, man. Do you know what I mean?
Those were the days, my friend. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. There was literally, you couldn't go anywhere. No. Couldn't do anything.
No.
So all you had to do was sit in the gaff and listen to RTE Gold, and that was it. It'll go down in the annals of...
It will be in the annals of history. Yeah, the annals, the four annals. Okay, I'm about to stick this thing up my nose,
right,
which
Mike,
I find really uncomfortable.
Go for it, Mike. I'll comment.
I didn't want to do. Oh, fucking hell! Oh,
I think you need to stick it up further, Mike.
Oh,
I don't think it's going in far enough there, Mike.
Oh, Jesus!
Mike is twirling the bud part up his nostril.
Fucking hell! It makes me cry. You know, it brings the tears to your eyes.
Yeah.
When you pass that bit, you think there's nowhere further to go, and you go, oh, and it gives you a bit of a gut.
How many times, Mike, you seem to be overdoing that, are you? Is that, no?
No, you're supposed to do each nostril for like 5 switches.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, get as much of that stuff. With this test, you are anyway. Yeah, and then I pop it in. And I like the way they designed the little box, so it's got the little...
It's got a holder on it. That is very cool.
It's got a little puncture mark where you hold it. So that's got to go in there for a minute now.
My wife got a PCR.
Right.
So she's negative, but she was sick. She was very sick.
I mean, there is a lot of it about.
She had like 3-2 days in the bed, like just yeah, that's sick, you know. And she's never sick.
No, I've been really good at wearing my mask. Really, really, really good at wearing my mask. But at work over the last couple of days, I've been playing St. Patrick. St. Patrick really doesn't look great without a mask. But I based myself outside as to not sort of get stuff. But I mean, I must have done 1,000 fucking selfies on. Over the last 2 days.
Of course, yeah.
You know, everybody wants, hey, St. Petty, you know. And a couple of women, I tell you what, one of them actually touched my ass.
St. Patrick would have got some.
Oh, he would, I tell you what, he would have been popular with the ladies.
He would have got his end away.
Yeah,
he would have, I'm trying to think of some sort of snake related metaphor or... let's not go there. We can't go there.
No, there were lots of snake related stuff, and there were a number of women who were on hen parties and stuff like that and came up to you and go, are you naughty Saint Patrick, where's your snake, and like grabbing you by the crotch. I mean, I felt violated,
yeah.
In a good way, but you know, but you've got this. And the other thing I never realized, when you're in the full vestments and whatever, as I was dressed as a man of the cloth.
Yeah.
Going to the toilet's a real pain in the ass.
Oh, it says so, yeah.
Oh, you got to disrobe.
Layers. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got to sit down for any reason, oh, man alive, you could get dribblage on.
You'd have to, yeah, everything has to be out of the way, doesn't it? Yeah. Tuck it in behind your neck.
Yeah. You'd be going like, clear. Okay, I've left this in probably more for the minute now. I'm just going to give it a little squeeze round.
While you're doing that, I'll just explain. Mike, if you're listening to this for the first time, or you've listened to it before, whatever, Mike works at the Cliffs of Moher. And so he dressed up as St. Patrick for the tourists, and he had a rubber snake. And that's not a euphemism. He had an actual rubber. Was it a rubber snake? It looked like it was.
Big rubber snake.
Banishing.
I banish you from these lands.
You're like Michael Scott. Have you watched The American Office?
I do.
You know when he says, he wants to declare bankruptcy, and he goes, "What do you do?" You declare, you just declare bankruptcy, and he just walks out of the office. And goes, "I declare bankruptcy.
I am bankrupt morally."
But yeah. Mike, you did a great job. You were a great St. Patrick.
Thanks very much. I think I was a great St. Patrick,
a young St. Patrick, I'd have to say. I always thought of Paddy as an older man with a grayer beard.
I don't know why. I don't think there's any actual reference to him. There's no good like snaps, is there? Coda.
He's like Green Santi.
Yeah, but I was told by two girls from Carlo, actually, two little young girls from Carlo. They were like 6 and 7. I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "You should be dressed in blue. The actual color of St. Patrick was blue. And Ireland should be blue. Our teacher told us this, and she taught us about mythology." And it was like, wow. And these girls were really into it. And then they started speaking to me in Irish.
Oh.
And wondered why I couldn't speak back to them. Do you know what I said?
In Welsh.
Exactly.
Hey! Good man, exactly. Mike.
Yeah.
Good man, Mike. Of course, like let's not get into the whole Catholicism robbing us of our ancient history and customs and hijacking everything for their own needs. And
well, it's just marketing. That's the world you're in.
I know,
my God's better than your God. We, you know, we'll latch onto that and sort of have a bit of, you know.
Bastards. Screw you, St. Patrick. What about St. Sheila? Well, you know, she needs to be remembered. Is St. Sheila's Day the 18th or something?
Yeah, St. Sheila,
yeah. Yeah, St. Sheila on the 18th.
St. Patrick. A couple of Sheilas up there at the weekend.
Outside the walls, Mike. Yeah. What's your? How long do you have to wait for the result now, Michael?
12 minutes. I need to set my stopwatch, actually.
How's it going so far?
oh, we've gone through the line situation. We're not. I'm confident. I am not positive as of this moment, but you never know.
That line can come in late, can't it?
Oh, it can. Oh, yeah. It can catch you by the short and curlies.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So come up on the inside.
Up on the inside track, like Rachel Blackmore.
Like Rachel Blackmore.
How good was that? What a win. I mean, I don't really like horses jumping over things because it's all based on hunting, which I'm fervently anti. And going over the sticks is all to do with point-to-point and hunting and all that sort of stuff, and it gets its roots in that. But what a great woman to be doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. Yeah, she's like, what did she win? The Gold Cup and she won
Grand
the...
National?
I don't know. This week she won two things, something really good, like the Gold Cup. I met her before. I probably told you that I've met her before, and I interviewed her, and
you interviewed her before she kind of peaked. So what I'm saying is that she kind of, that time you shook her hand, you gave her that little bit of magic.
It was
you enabled her to become a winner.
Yeah, it was just before she went to Cheltenham 3 years ago, and she really hit the big time, and it was all down to me.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah. I said, Rachel, you have the power. That's all I said. I said, Rachel, you now have the power, and I handed it over. And if you notice, that's when I left RT, because I gave her my powers.
Yeah, but I think you sacrificed. Leaving those powers behind made you stronger, like Yennefer in The Witcher.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I didn't need the powers.
Don't need the power. You have the power. It's innate within us. I'm a powerful man. I've got powerful fucking
nostrils.
Yeah, I can tell you. Oh, man.
Mike, speaking of your power, are you allowed to talk about what's been happening? Because the last time, I mean, this is not, the last time we spoke, you got a letter in from some lady who was thinking of leaving her job.
And miraculously, what happened? And this was all before I actually heard a sniff of my current new job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was a bizarre thing.
I thought the letter was to do with the new job.
No, it was the letter was to, no. The letter was the lady who was hoovering, and she got a call from somebody who she used to work with.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she said something along with, Dear Keith. I like my Dear Keith voice.
Yeah.
I think we should do a load of adverts.
We should do Dear Keith.
Yeah,
Barry's Dear Keith ads.
I had got a call from somebody else who approached me. In fact, two people had approached me, and then I'd kind of been rattled. The lady had been rattled by that.
So and what kind of roles were they, Mike? Can you be a bit more specific now about the lady's roles?
They were very similar to the roles that she's done in the past. Not as local as they could be, but around the west of Ireland, let's say.
In a hotel? Or
a hotel and a sort of a tourism sector type of thing.
Right.
Where one would be doing a lot of tour guiding and things like that.
Customer
service. Which would be good. So there's a lot of sniffs of jobs around at the moment.
Yeah.
If you're
obviously a popular man, Mick.
I think anybody who's willing to move is a popular man at the moment. I mean, in this industry, in tourism and
hospitality.
Hospitality. There you go. I keep wanting to call it hostility. For years, I called it the hostility environment because it can be.
Yeah.
So an awful lot of people need an awful lot of places filling because this country is now full of Americans. And when I say full of Americans, I think we had 9,000 of them yesterday.
Wow.
And I think there's going to be more today and probably more tomorrow. I mean, and not just Americans. I'd say, you know, we are back to pre-2019 numbers in the west of Ireland as far as buses and coaches. And paddy wagon had everything they've ever owned on the road yesterday.
No way.
Yep. Dragging drivers out of their graves.
Literally, Paddy and St. Patrick was driving.
Yeah, I mean, there were bus drivers there yesterday like that. That's the steering wheel. It's automatic. Just go. Not paddy wagon drivers.
We're exaggerating as well.
Yeah, of course we are.
We're exaggerating for comic. And I've heard that the tourism industry can't find people to even take the upper level, upper management jobs, even. Like there's thinking of moving into that industry myself, Mike, you know.
Why not? You'd be very good at it. You were very good at it. You could be chief bag carrier.
I could work with you again, Mike. We could be together again.
The only problem is I'll be my son's boss.
Oh, does he work there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Like his direct boss. I'll be working like with him. Like, you know.
Is he full time there? No.
Well, no. He's at school still, but he will be seeing. I tell you, he'll be fucking full time over the summer.
Hey.
I'm stuck for days off.
All of it.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Mike, that letter that lady wrote was totally separate. So, what happened then? Because in the interim, because we haven't done a podcast in a few weeks, in the interim, you obviously are you allowed to talk about this?
Sure I am. I can't see why I'm not. I actually put it on my CV that I was a regular contributor to a podcast, and it actually came up at some point that maybe it did or maybe it didn't. It came up in another context that I was at work. My nickname is Superstar because if there's ever a camera around or something, I'm hello,
Michael, do it.
Yeah, and then if there's a microphone, what do you want? What do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, I'll do it. Get Mike. There's a guy with a mic here for Mike.
Which in fact, this podcast has allowed me to become much better at this sort of speaking and stuff. And listening to your internal monologue, I think. You mentioned that in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something I do now. And it's something that I've realized another thing, another gift of sort of intellect that came from you. You gave me a little bit of your juju juice. Was that you said to me, some people learn and prepare by reading stuff. Some people do stuff in their head and go over it and go over it and go and almost have this kind of conversation and almost learn it off and kind of go through the sentences before they say them. And I have identified that I am one of those people. So thank you for letting me letting me identify my superpower.
That's you, you and Rachel Blackmore. You and Rachel Blackmore, sorted.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, then, since the lady wrote the letter, we read it out in the podcast. It's very confusing now, but you went to the open day, was it in the hotel?
I went to an open evening at the Armada Hotel in West Clare here. I went to the open evening and I was in my uniform because they were having a 7 to 9 thing and I finished work at 7. So if I was to come home, doll myself up and go back in again, I would have been late. And, you know, I thought, no, if I'm fucking going to go, I'll just breeze in, see what the score is, you know?
And what made you, like what, so obviously those other initial contacts from other people to the lady with the letter kind of got you thinking.
Exactly. There's stuff out there. And I can do stuff and I'm, you know, and I am qualified to do quite a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I can do so. And that's difficult as well to tell yourself that you're good at anything.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Very, very, very difficult to tell yourself. Not saying I'm fantastic at all things, but, you know, it'll take
good at some things that you're going to be doing. Maybe you're really good at them. You're excellent at them. They're blessed to have you.
So I went down there and it was funny because it was really, really windy at the Cliffs of Moher that day. And I'd been hit by a gate at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Of course you
had. Which had left a fucking oily kind of residue and a little chink on my cheek.
Oh, geez,
just a little one. And I kind of popped my back out a little bit as well because I was kneeling down trying to secure something. And my trousers were fucking stuck. And I couldn't, I mean, I had no clothes. I had my uniform and I'd looked like I'd been in the wars, like, and part of my duty was actually standing on the edge of a cliff in a yellow wind warning as well. And it was like, it was beautiful, don't get me wrong. It was stunning. I was watching the sea. I really enjoyed it and talking to people up there. It was great. But when I got there, I must have looked like the man of fucking Borneo.
blown in the door.
Whipped off my beanie. My hair had gone to a sort of a 3 or 4, you know, clip. And it was at that stage where it's just going to go its own way. So I was all over the shop and I caught a look at myself in the mirror before I went. I was just kind of thought, all right, I'll go in, wet my hair down, kind of give it that just out of the shower look and whatever. And caught my hair and somebody said, oh, hi, how are you? Here for the opening? And I went, yeah, come on through. And I was like, fuck.
I haven't done my hair.
haven't done my hair, haven't done anything. I didn't catch myself in a bright mirror and I looked like a bag of shit. But anyway, I went in and had a chat with somebody and I just whipped out my sort of my CV and we got talking. And then it all moved relatively quickly from then on in. So, yeah, and a job offer came. So, yeah, I'm the guest relations manager.
Wow. Well, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know why. Why? I don't think it's anything.
Well, no, because, you know, you've enabled me. Me and Rachel Blackmore.
I gave you the power.
You owe everything to you.
It's a brilliant hotel, though, the Armada.
The Burks love it. And if the Burks love it, we love it. It is nice. They have really, really, really pulled themselves up, you know,
yeah.
and brought themselves 4-star and above. And they're looking at doing stuff for the likes of, you know, people who come in. And, you know, when you go on these sort of days away for work and whatever, and you have this break, is it this time? And, da, 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 da. And they're thinking, I was just saying, listen, why don't we at the 3 o'clock break or whatever, they can kind of finish up doing what they want to have, a cup of tea out on the lawn or whatever. We can go for a walk on the beach and I can show them the geology and the birds and the sand and the tides and we can talk about whatever. And they were like, oh yeah, Jesus, that's a great idea. We'll do that. So crack on. So yeah, we're just kind of, although it's a seaside hotel, it's not really a seaside hotel. A lot of people go there for
work.
Work and weddings and whatever. So yeah, we need to bring the sea in.
I have
the sand pit.
I don't know if I ever told you, but I had an experience at the Armada Hotel years ago. It was St. Patrick's, around St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, so it has I feel a flush of embarrassment when I think about that hotel. But
this
only
isn't the snake dance thing, is it?
No. This is another one. No, we went down to the area. And we stayed in these little bungalows that might have been attached to the hotel.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was me and a bunch of friends and my wife. And, you know, we weren't married at that stage, so we were young. But it was Paddy's. We have the result of the. And now let's go to Claire for the results of the test from the Claire jury.
Antigen test. Negative.
Yay.
PTLJ. There you go. Yeah. Means I can move. That's
right. That means get back to it. Whoosh.
Yes.
But yeah, we went down for like Paddy's Day weekend. It was over a weekend. It was a bank holiday on the Monday and we were going down there. What really kind of was going on with me, but I was on one. So we drank the night before when we got down there. And then the next morning we got up and like kind of started drinking again, like pretty much. Straight away, like at 11 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it was like vodka and orange juice or something.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Then we went into Spanish Point. And what was it, Spanish Point? Where's Miltown, the Willie Class? Miltown Malbay we went into. And we went in to watch the hurling in there. So there was the All-Ireland Club finals used to be on a Paddy's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Did to watch those in a pub, which was basically we went into a pub and there wasn't any room in the pub, so we sat in the sitting room of the house to watch the telly with a few pints. And then we just kind of continued. But I was very drunk and I had to go back to the hotel / accommodation on my own. But I couldn't get in or something and I was drunk. So I went to the hotel bar.
Oh, no.
I was very drunk, like drank some brandy or something weird. Yeah, and kind of had to be like brought... drop out. Oh God.
And that would have been, yeah, that's key. Were you
no, I wasn't on the radio? No, I wasn't. No, no. God, no.
It would have been, that's key. Yeah, he's a small drop. he likes the sup.
He doesn't.
Out come the euphemisms then.
The drink doesn't suit him.
He should stay away from the top shot. He was grand when he walked in.
But that's the thing. Like, why was I drinking spirits? Like, I was drinking vodka and brandy. Oh, for God's sake.
I know, poisoning yourself.
Stick to the beer and you'd be grand, you know, at least you'd be, it might be hungover the next day and feeling a bit sheepish, but Jesus Christ. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
And then the next day I was so sick the next day. Like, so obviously,
waste of money.
There was still one more day of, of our holiday, you know, but I was just sick. And we went to Cliffs some more and I just sat in the car because I was so sick. And then we would, like, they went out that night and I went along, but I was so sick. I just couldn't even drink. And then it was the trip home from Clare to Newbridge or to Dublin the next day. I was like, oh my God, it was worse nearly. Oh, Jesus, Mike, Jesus. So I have to go back to stay in that hotel and just re-somethinging my experience, you yes. know, and banish yes. the snakes.
You need to realign your chi.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to get down here and straighten yourself up. You need to do it more sort of like go for a Sunday morning swim
yeah.
with a group of 300 women. And, you know,
perfect. Exactly. That's exactly what I need.
Eat, drink a cup of tea, listening to Irish country music.
Perfect. Exactly.
People dance in their swimsuits at -6 degrees sort of stuff. That's,
exactly.
That's exactly what you
exactly
need
what
to do.
I need yeah, to yeah. do. Yeah. That's exactly what I had in mind. Yeah. And then I'll banish the snakes of past Paddy's days spent at near all the gone. Armada Hotel. Done.
It will be cancelled out.
But I'm excited for you and congratulations. And it's good. It's a big job. I think they're very lucky to have you. I really feel like, you know, because obviously they're doing well. It's a good hotel. Yes. They have a great establishment there. They're set up. They have a great name down there. And I think this is going to give them, I don't think they realize it. This is going to give them another boost.
I'm the icing on the cake.
They're the icing, you're the cake, man.
Wow, yeah. I love that. I'd rather be the icing, though. They can be the substance. They can be my. They can be my foundation. I can be the pretty thing that surrounds it.
I just so, but obviously, most importantly, you'd be able to give me a discount on accommodation.
Now, to cover that, you must be about the 141st person to say that to me. Listen, we'll come in and see you. Sure, it'll be grand. We'll, you know. There must be some class of an old disc. And it's like I said, and I keep saying to people, my stock line has become, I am more interested in my owner's bottom line
yeah.
than increasing your waistline.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about.
Mike, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, Mike. Can I ask you about handing your notice at the Cliffs?
Yeah. Very sad. Probably the funniest people I've ever worked with, and by that I mean that it is the most eclectic group of people who wound up at the Cliffs for whatever reason, immediately made you feel sort of very, very welcome, and you know, they're used to dealing with situations and issues that turn on a very, very quickly. You know, you have an awful lot of people.
It's a dangerous place. There's lots of crazy things going on.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's just, you know, you've
but also you have like tourists, I mean, and
you have tourists, and tourists are very funny, and sometimes, you know,
unpredictable.
I've been on a bus for 2 hours. I need to go to the toilet. Afraid there's a bit of a queue. Okay, so is it okay if I just shit in the field over there? No, don't do that. And all of a sudden, ew, there's a guy shitting in the field.
Oh, see, lots of those kind of like, moments.
Put yourself away, you fuck.
Why is that not the sitcom, Mike? Why is that not? Why is the Cliffs? Why have we not written the sitcom, The Cliffs?
I know. But you know what? I'm going to become busier now. So the busier I become, the more productive I become.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to start writing and journaling and all sorts of stuff now.
So let's try and write the sitcom, The Cliffs.
Yeah. It'd be like Father Ted on acid. I mean, it is literally some of the stuff. It's so West Clare, like, you know.
Well, it's so West Clare, but then you throw in the madness of the tourists from all over the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Who just don't understand what's going on up there. You know, I mean, discussions I had yesterday with people and the whole snake thing and whatever. I mean, it was just. It got outrageous at one point. You know, there was like, there's just children. I'm standing there going, hey, that's just children queuing up here for a pitch. We can't be at that shit.
I can't wait for The Cliffs, the sitcom, the St. Patrick's Day special. That's going to be brilliant.
That's a good idea. That's a fucking fantastic idea. Yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent. So you're sad to say goodbye, and you still have a few days left with them, have you?
Yeah, I'm hopefully back in tomorrow. I'm going to take another antigen test tomorrow morning and back in tomorrow and Monday, and then I finish up. And then I'm off to the Armada to do a couple of days with the guy who's leaving, whose position I'm sort of taking. It's a newish position, but there's been a guy kind of doing it. So I'm going to take over from him and hopefully, you know.
Yeah. Kick on, man. And did they try and offer you a lot more money to stay?
You see, that's an issue, I think, with the organization. I'm going to say
it's a government organization, isn't it? So you're at a level and you can't get out.
There you go.
They can't offer you more money.
No, they haven't. Although they're not. You see, everybody know, dogs on the street know that it's owned by the government or the local government, but it's set up as an independent sort of, your door is opening behind, that's your dog.
That's Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. So so their hands are tied. They can't just say, we'll match whatever.
Yeah.
That's not the way it goes.
You're on level 4 or whatever it is, and they can't put you in level 5 because... Yeah.
There would be ramifications, and the unions would get involved and it would all go pear-shaped for them very quickly. And there's very little they can do with enticements. In fact, that's an interesting thing. The whole vouchery type thing now, governmentally, they're thinking of increasing it now to €1,000 tax-free.
Okay.
Because it was 500, which limits an awful lot of people, especially in the medium, I'm going to say. If you're earning €25,000 a year, and one way of a company giving you extra money could be giving you a 500 bonus, which is like a 1.5% pay increase.
Yeah, no tax. Tax free. Yeah. One for all voucher, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is the greatest thing of all to help companies to give sweeteners to people. They couldn't give any more.
Mm.
And lots of companies want to give more. And I think... one thing that I quite fancy about the Armada is that they've joined this quest for the best thing. I think it's a Fáilte Ireland, or it's an initiative that they have like massively increased sort of, you know, leave, VHI sort of stuff, stuff that you wouldn't necessarily associate with hotels.
Okay, so they want to give you... I want to give you your holidays. I want to give you your look after you tax wise. Look after you.
Compassionate leave is like 5 days, and you know, if you get married, get 3 days off. You know, no, nothing hassling around it, whatever, and none of this sort of like working 19 days in a row kind of crack. So yeah, and they actually have. You'd like it. You'd love it. Actually, a mental health manager, mental well-being manager.
Wow, yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, that is impressive. Yeah, that's good.
And at the weekends, he does actual sea swimming. So he'll take you down and professionally get you to sea swim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a professional sea swimmer.
Any jobs going in there?
Yeah. Get you in, don't worry.
I should say the people I work for are very good as well. And actually, there's one thing, because I'll be there a year in a couple of months. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no, I can't believe it, because all of a sudden, you know, we were doing nothing. And then stuff happened and the world caught up.
Yeah, it's weird. But because when I joined, one of the things I was like, oh, that's nice. If you're there for 5 years, you get a month off on top of your holidays.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So like my in my head was like, well, Finn will be in transition year.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything there. So he fuck off
Anna will be finished college. So I'm thinking Australia or... you know, Thailand, Australia, a bit of a trip around the world. So it'll be 4 years time now. So yeah, that's the long term plan, Mike.
Excellent. I like that.
Mm.
I really like that. Yeah, that's good.
So whatever else happens, we're like that's kind of that long. And you amaze how quickly the time goes. And
I know, isn't it awful? You kind of wish your life away almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good, is it?
No, it's not good.
But it's good to have that on the horizon.
It is.
Focus on the day to day.
I was kind of kick myself when I'm sitting at work and thinking, fuck, I just want to go home this evening. And there's 5 hours between that time.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to waste that time either. Because I'm going to be on my deathbed going, fuck it. Why don't I just have one more cake?
Another bar of chocolate. But why does it have to be an oversized bar of chocolate? Like, come on. But that's the way I used to live my life, Mike. I used to be like, just get through the week to the weekend. And then the weekend would fly by. And I'd be like, oh, Jesus, the weekend's gone. And I would fucking have to. And not like just enjoying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like just being in in the moment. Just, you know, just enjoy. Like there's loads to. Yeah, it's weird. Like I'm still like, because obviously I'm 48. So like I still have lots of that big bad habit, lots of years of doing that. So I have a lot of repairing to do. So it's still something I have to remind myself. But like, we went to see myself and my son went to see Shamrock Rovers last night in up in Tala.
I saw, what's the interest there? Is there
just Finn is into his
soccer.
Finn is into his football. So I just thought, well, he'll League of Ireland is perfect, you know, because it's only up the road and it's great, great league. And so we decided we'd start going to see Shamrock Rovers, and it was great. It was just great sitting there on a Friday night, just enjoying the football and being totally just kind of in the moment, you know, and finding yourself just being in the moment, which I'd stopped, you know, it's something I don't know if we've talked about it on this, but you know, I've talked about it with friends, when you were young, you'd watch a movie and you'd almost like forget what planet you were on.
Yes.
You know, especially if you're sitting in a room with friends or something watching a movie, or you're with your family watching a movie and the lights were off or whatever. And then when the movie ends, you'd just be like, who am I? Where am I? What day is it? What, you know, you're so in the moment watching that. You know, and that's what I'm aiming for, to get back to that.
I remember place. I used to, on my days off, when I had a job and I was two on, two off, and I would go to Blockbuster Video on my 2 days off. Sort of my first day off, I would be in recovery mode. You know, you'd be fucked.
Yeah.
You might have had a couple of shandies next. Second day, you know, you do a bit of bits and pieces around the house on the first day. Second day, you think, right, okay, it's Sunday. And generally, everybody else would be out of the house. You know, we'd be in shared flats or whatever, or myself and Sally Ann were just together, and she'd be working. It'd be a weekday, like some Tuesday afternoon. And I'll never forget, I watched the film Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
And I darkened everything up. I got some minstrels. I got a strawberry shake. I didn't smoke any weed. You're making that the thing with your face there. I didn't do that. I sat there, minstrels, strawberry shake, probably a couple of cups of tea, dark room, and sort of surroundy sound. We had the old style surround sound. It was shit, really. But listen, it was great. Sat in my chair with the cat on top of me and watched this film. And I remember about half an hour after it rewound itself to the end, that, you know, it sort of finished all the credits. I think they're going, fucking hell, that was fantastic.
Wow.
And I can't remember the film at all. But and I often see it as like a film that people refer to.
Can't
remember what it's about. I think it's got something to do with Vietnam. Not too sure.
Yeah.
But it was fucking stunning. And that immersive stuff. Yeah. And I used to watch a lot of Star Trek in that way as well.
And you'd get lost and it wasn't. Yeah. That's what I'm aiming for, is those moments in life where you're just completely in the moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what people are looking for these days. Enlightenment.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah.
It's great. I should talk about my first check it out. What's it all about? I've been watching Taboo.
Mike. Oh, is it any good? It kind of, from the previews, it kind of looks like Poldark, but serious.
I tell you what it's like. I try to describe it like, it's like as if they got the character of Bill Sykes from Oliver, right?
Right.
Made him even more complex.
Oh.
So like even darker and, you know, with
more horrible.
And yeah. And this guy, this character has been to Africa and has traveled the world. So he's seen some crazy shit, like on slave ships and, you know, working with shipping companies who might not have the best reputations and all this kind of weird. And just, you know, I suppose the view of the East, of what was happening in Africa and voodoo and all that kind of stuff. And so it's like, it's kind of like, it's a Bill Sykes character in that era, 1817, around that, like pre-famine in the Ireland period in London, where it's just dirty, small, and
miserable,
black. And the one thing, actually, on a sort of a side note, the one thing I never realize or think about is that when you think about those times, like if you think about the tenements in Dublin at the turn of the last century, and you know, the way people were living, and you know, they'd have a sink on the landing and the jacks on the landing, that everybody, you know, all 400 families were using in one building. There was no electricity.
No, of course not.
I know, but like you just think of these things like, you know, with bulbs.
With a light bulb moment.
You had a bulb, yeah. Ding. The switch turned. No, this shit happened in the fucking dark. Like, I know there was lamps and there was paraffin and there was candles and all that kind of stuff, but largely a lot of, like, imagine London in the winter.
I know. Fucking miserable.
1817 in the winter. Stuff. Cold, dark, smoggy, smelly. Imagine what was the smell like?
They closed the Houses of Parliament down because of the great smog. Because the smog, because the cold, because London is pretty much in a sort of big dish.
Yeah.
And then people were shitting straight into the Thames, which has got what they've called a gun barrel tide. So it goes out a little bit, it appears to be going out, but then it comes back in again. Because it meets the sea and it comes back in having been putrefied for a couple of days.
There goes my shit. Water. Oh, here it comes again.
Here it comes again with some additions on it.
With more, he's brought his friends.
It's gone viral, literally.
So dysentery was terrible.
Yeah,
the dirt. Oh my god! But anyway, but I love that. But I'm fascinated with that period of us, of life, whatever, of time. So it's So this character is sort of Bill Sykes' character, and he's taken on the crown. And the East India Shipping Company. And he's also sort of taken on America as well, because at the time, England and America are fighting over Canada and bits of Canada and bits of America. And all that stuff's going on. So it's absolutely brilliant. Like, really, there's bits of it that are quite violent. And, you know, it's because there's a lot of, like, this guy's involved with, you know, prostitution and whorehouses and drugs and anything that was going on around that time. Pirates, ex-pirates, you know, just crazy characters. Stephen Graham is in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he plays a brilliant character who has a tattoo.
Is it brand new out of the box?
No, I mean, I was telling a friend of mine, John, I said, have you seen this yet? And he said, I watched it on BBC when it first came out. And he was saying that's 3 or 4 years ago now. So,
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been out there. It's your man. What can I think of his name?
Jonathan Pryce, is it?
Jonathan Pryce is in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But your man who played Bane, Mac Bane in Batman. He's in Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
I know. Talk like this to you. Let me see if I can.
I'm based loosely on Darth Vader, kind of ish.
Tom Hardy, and Una Chaplin is in it as well. She's brilliant. But our friend of the show, Jesse Buckley, is in it.
Oh, no wonder you were drawn towards it. You've got a thing for Jesse Buckley.
I didn't know Jesse Buckley was in it until she just appeared. But the cast in it. Let me tell you, Jesse Buckley, Una Chaplin. Where do I know Una Chaplin for? She's brilliant.
Don't know. I've never seen that. I don't know who.
Una Chaplin Game. Is. She was in Game of Thrones. That was it.
Oh, how is she spelling her name?
O-O-N-A. Yeah, O-O-N-A. And it's Chaplin. You'd recognize her.
Yes.
So she was in Game of Thrones. Jesse Buckley, Jonathan Pryce, of course, Stephen Graham. There's some brilliant. There's brilliant actors in it. Mark Gatiss.
Oh, Mark Gatiss.
Was he League of Gentlemen?
He's the writer of Doctor Who, League of Gentlemen. He plays Sherlock's brother.
Yeah, Mark he's Gatiss. Brilliant. He's brilliant as Prince George.
Genius.
And Prince George is clearly, like, he's obviously got gout. He's riddled. Like, he's just fucking riddled. He's got this massive stomach just hanging out in front of him. And he's got, like, pock face. Do you know, like, it's so real. Yeah, and he can barely talk because of that. And he's always eating something or drinking.
Probably syphilis as well.
Syphilis. gout, just like, and he just, it's everything's like drink and you just want to take him off and bring him to like a health farm for a month, you know what I mean?
I know, and it's gas, isn't it? Because in these times of like outrageous poverty, these lads were drinking the finest port, the reddest of meat, like, you know, they're slaughtering, like, and they're eating like nothing, but there's no vegetables.
Yeah,
it's the worst.
Yeah,
red meat and red wine.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, they're fact. Scroobius Pip actually is in it. He plays a character. Tom Hollander and Jason Watkins. Do you know Jason Watkins?
How can you just mask over Tom Hollander?
Tom Hollander, I don't know a lot of his work.
Oh, you don't see him in Rev?
No.
Oh, yeah, Rev. R-E-V. Rev.
Yeah,
about a reverend.
Priest, I presume.
Yeah. A really shit one. He plays a Methodist priest or a Church of England priest who's really shit. Love him. Absolutely love him.
I will check out Rev.
In fact, Tom Hollander's he did a daily diary or a diary of my day in the Telegraph about 6 months ago, and that did go viral. You know, the Telegraph, you know, sort of day in the life sort of thing. What do I do and whatever? And he was very surprised that they published it because it was like, If the day isn't going too well, I might just sit down and have a wank. I love him. He was in the night manager.
Night Manager, I haven't seen either.
Okay, yeah.
Two things I need to catch up with.
But Rev, he was brilliant in Rev. And The Trip, I think he did a program on BBC maybe 3 years ago about himself and his wife.
Mm.
And their sort of teenage son, who's sort of 18, leaving home, going to university or whatever. They're in the midst of breaking up, but they decide to have one more trip around Europe. And he's this little kind of control freak that plans everything. And the rest of them, you can immediately tell why they shouldn't like each other.
Yeah.
Because the son is off having flings with this, that, and the other, and finding out about his sexuality whilst being in the bedroom next to his parents, because it's all sort of that, it's really quirky and kind of uncomfortable watching, and you're watching this sort of relationship fall apart between the three of them.
I think I've seen a bit of that. What's it called? Is it called The Trip? Is it?
I think it's called The Trip or The Vacation or The Holiday or something like that. Yeah. I love it. Love him. Absolutely love him. And he's in something we're watching at the moment as well. He's in The Ypres File on ITV.
Right. Is that new? Is that brilliant. A new version of the Ypres file?
New version, a six-parter. He plays the sort of the handler of the spy.
Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love everything he's in. There you go.
I was just looking at social media there. I was looking up the names of the cast, and I just noticed a tweet there from Sally Ann's Fab Bags.
Oh, yeah.
I'm set up and the bags, neck bands and neck warmers are looking fabulous. Are you looking for Mother's Day gift ideas? Perhaps I can help. Or do you simply want to treat yourself? So they're there. Is she live somewhere today?
Yeah, she's in the...
I was like, what? She's at some sort of market. It's called the Heart of Tennis.
Yeah, she's gone to Wimbledon.
Is it a market on a tennis club, Heart of Tennis? I was like, that's interesting. It's surrounded by love. Chapel Lane Market in Ennis.
Yes. She's doing Chapel Lane today. Every Saturday. Something for Mother's Day.
Every Saturday. If you're in Ennis and you go up to Sally Ann, tell her we said hello and buy something.
Do, yeah, yeah. Get a podcast discount.
Yeah, a podcast discount of 0%. 1%. You don't need the discount. You just get the pleasure of meeting Sally Ann and
there you go.
Buying one of her beautiful bags. Yes. But that's my check it out. I'm reading a book at the moment.
Wow. We are pulling ourselves up.
Oh, this is like, I'm just like.
Oh, the is that the book of the movie or the movie?
The book of the movie, yeah. The house of, as we used to call it, Gookie. The House of Gucci. And I'm this far in.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Yes.
No, that's
hardly anything.
This far in, and I have to have it all read by Thursday because I'm going to be on the Today Show reviewing it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
With your man with the big head.
I'll be on with Dahi and whoever else is presenting on the day. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, nice, nice one. And are you liking the book? Did you watch the movie?
I haven't seen the movie, and I'm trying to avoid watching the movie. I'm just going to read the book. I am enjoying the book because it's very much about, certainly the start of it is very much about the history of the family, which incorporates kind of, there's a bit of history about Italy and where the different families came from and what the different families were about. If you came from Sicily, or if you came from the south, you came from the north, what you were about, what you were into, you know, and the Guccis came from a certain part of it was Guccio, I think was the name. Anyway, they came from, I think his name was a Guccio Gucci. But they came from a certain part of Italy that were renowned for, you know, making quality garments. And then mm-hmm. they got into making bags and, you know, and all about the type of leather they bought and the soft goat leather or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. So, but I have a long way to go, obviously. And at the start of it, there's someone who's killed. So, oh, Jesus. There's a lot of intrigue as well. Yeah.
And does it talk about their reliance on the sort of the red green? Because that's the only thing I associate with Gucci. You know, their watch straps. I wanted a Gucci watch.
Yeah.
Anybody's listening out there. I always
if you mention Gucci on the podcast, they'll probably send us in free watch.
We're sponsored by Gucci. Gucci from Limerick.
The podcast sponsored by Gucci.
It looked like a pair of fucking spibs. All fucking
gold. Gold.
I'm wearing my gold jocks.
Bit of a Gucci hat on backwards.
But it's funny you should mention that, because one of my check it outs rhymes with it and is also about Italian families. It's Stanley Tucci.
Oh, okay.
On BBC Two at the moment is doing Stanley Tucci Food. So it's his travelogue through India, or Italy. India, fucking Italy. his travelogue through his home country of Italy. As he says himself, and it rhymes with Gucci, Stanley Tucci, I'm Italian on both sides.
Wow.
And he goes and he talks to these people about food, and he goes to these little places that he's been to before and whatever, and his wife joins him every once in a while. And old Stanley Tucci had throat cancer.
Did he?
Yeah, so he's recovered from that and whatever, and he's got a cookbook out, but it's, I really like his kind of travelogue. It's you know, he obviously has a lot of money to spend on stuff and whatever, but is no problem going to some little stand at the back, and is really embarrassed when people, like, they start giving him coffee because they realize who he is, and they start giving him cake. And he was literally filming it. One of the scenes was like, we're here for a cup of coffee and a tiny little cake before we go for lunch in an hour's time, just to kind of whet our appetites, whatever. And of course, they realize who it is. They come out, all this sort of like, have this one. This is my meringue. This is a tiramisu of the house. This is have a beer. And he's going, no, lad. Literally, fuck off, lads. We're going out for lunch. And they kind of go, oh, that's okay. Where are you going for lunch? Oh, it's really nice. Yeah, we take this food back.
Wow.
Good. Yeah. So yeah, I like Stanley Tucci.
I want to watch that because I've gotten this. I've gotten into buying nice sourdough bread. That's probably not Italian. I don't know, but having it. Well, obviously, I don't eat dairy, so I try not to eat butter. So what I do now is I'll have oil if I get. Mm. So I'm trying to buy nice oils, nice olive oil with a bit of bread and maybe a bit of balsamic, and just bread and balsamic and a little bit of salt.
It's Greek week in Aldi, Lidl or Aldi or something.
Is it?
And they have speciality olive oils.
Ooh.
You want some Kalamata olive oil. Okay. Oh, yummaruni.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the way the Spanish get around it is by not having sort of a spread, is that they would get a clove of garlic on hard toasted sourdough.
Yeah.
And rub it.
Yeah.
Rub it in. Like a, you know, sort of tostada, and then have like some tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, and a bit of oregano on top of it with a bit of oil. And that kind of softens the bread and gives you that real kind of, whoa, garlic hit as well.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
Hungry now.
I think I've got to go now, Mike. Try that.
Yeah, have a bag of Maltesers afterwards. Revels, bag of Revels. Jesus, I'd murder a bag of Revels now.
Mike, I'm trying not to eat chocolate, and like the best I can do is like wait till nighttime.
No, I'm the same. I kid myself all day long with these little oranges. I'm fucking back my neck because it's the sugar, you know, And then that gives you the shits, of course. But then in the evening, you go, oh, it's dark outside. Nobody's going to notice me eating.
No one's going to see me eating chocolate. Yeah. Oh, and I do like, at the moment, I'm obsessed with Tony's Chocolate Only.
I've never heard of that.
I never heard of Tony's Chocolate Only. You should, if you'll see it now. Now that I've mentioned it, you'll see it in shops. But you go to Aldi's and Lidl's. You don't go to the Tesco's, do you? Or the...
I do, yeah. I'm not averse to going to any supermarket.
I'd see Tony's Chocolate Only in Tesco. But I was, when we were over in Amsterdam, there was a whole sort of like Tony's Chocolate Only kind of cafe shop. And there was a big wall of it on one wall was just covered in bars of chocolate. So you could just like take a bar or whatever, but also you could pull a lever and it would like break up one of the bars. So you could just sample it. So it'd fall into this little, it was like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. You pull a lever and then bits of this chocolate bar would fall into this little holder and you'd grab a few little bits and you'd walk along, go, oh, have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So
it'd be like that little German fella. Is it Aldous Gloop or
whatever? Yeah, yeah, Augustus. Augustus. Yeah. I get stuck in the chocolate suction pipe coming out of the river. Oh, jeez. But anyway,
So is that chocolate Dutch then?
Tony's Chocolate Only is, as far as I know, American, but they're fair trade chocolate. Okay. So they're Tony's Chocolate Only because they feel like they're the only ones given the chocolate farmers a fair price, you know. Okay, the cocoa farmers, sorry. But anyway, I'm obsessed with that at the moment. But I need to cop myself on, Mike.
What was the score in Amsterdam then? What, did you just go for a weekend family trip? You
and no, I went with my with my friend John Free. He's my cousin. He worked in juries, actually. If you probably don't remember him. He worked behind the bar. We started around the same time.
Okay.
And
I do. Okay. Cool.
So we meet up. So we're good friends. So we meet up every day now and then, and we just hang out in coffee shops, drinking coffee.
Not obviously.
Not with no caffeine in it.
Decaffeinated
spliffs.
I take 2 spoons of heroin in that coffee.
No heroin for me, thank you. But no, we've just had it. Like I said, we're different now. We're different people. We don't drink and et cetera, right, et cetera. Okay. Yeah. But back in the day, I suppose when we were younger, we'd make a point of, because he lives in London, I live in Ireland, obviously. And we try and meet up every now and then. And we always, when we were younger, we used to meet up in Amsterdam because obviously we'd have a weekend of drinking and whatever else. And, now that we're older, we still like to meet up in Amsterdam, but it's less hectic and chaotic.
So you go to Prinsengracht and walk around the place and go to, do you ever go to the, the Van Gogh Museum?
We didn't go to any museums, Mike. I'm not even sure what we did. Like we walked.
Oh, yeah.
It's we just walked. It's a lovely place to walk around. Yeah. And we walked and strolled and walked up the canal with the red light district and just had a gawk at the tourists, at the,
great place to people watch.
The craziness of it all. And and actually John does drink, but he didn't drink that weekend. So we just chilled out. It was nice.
Nice food.
Yeah, we had some lovely food. Yeah, weirdly, we stumbled across some. When I say weirdly, I don't mean weirdly, but for some reason, we ended up eating Japanese on the first night. We just stumbled across the place. It was really nice, delicious. And then I think we might have ended up having Japanese the second night. So we definitely went looking. We just had some sort of fish. We went to a fish restaurant then. But food. I mean, we went to go to a gig. So we were going to go to the. They were called what were they called? It was Pink Floyd cover band.
Okay.
What were they called? Pink Floyd? The Floyd? I don't know. Anyway, we booked to go to see them. So that was our sort of the main thing we had in the middle
of something to hang one of those weekends on. Yeah.
So we walked for miles from where we were to go to. We did a lot of walking and we walked through this park and, and we got to the venue, very quiet for weird. We're like, oh, it must be early or something, or everyone else has gone in. It must be late. It had been cancelled.
Oh.
Yeah, because Amsterdam were still kind of, they were just coming out of lockdown. So everything that had been scheduled when we booked it about a year ago was cancelled. And we never even got an email or checked it or whatever. So, yes, we literally, Mike, we literally did nothing all weekend. I was trying to get John to rent a bike so we could cycle around, but he didn't. He thought it was too fucking mad. Like, no, there's no way. No way I'm cycling a bike in this place. No, we'll be killed.
I think he's right. You will. You'd end up dead.
He's probably right. Yeah.
I love the. There's a falafel place right across from the Tulip Market.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. On the, it's kind of on an intersection. It's kind of, you know, those, I don't know, six or seven sort of, there's a tram comes in here and it's kind of a roundy nosed building. And you walk in there and it's just falafel. Oh, fuck me. The falafels are just phenomenal. Middle Eastern food is lovely in Amsterdam.
Yeah, because they do good falafel. I think we had a falafel one night and then we got chips. And chips and mayonnaise is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they put the mayonnaise on like we'd put curry on our chips, like fucking drenched in the stuff. We were like, Jesus Christ, man, trying to kill us with kindness here in the mayonnaise. Yeah. Like,
that's why they're all quite pasty skinned and sort of
too much mayonnaise. Mike, I better go. I could talk to you all day.
Okay, you're off out for the afternoon.
We're going up to Port Marnock, up to Porto see some. See the old brother-in-law and his family up there and hang out at the beach and maybe go to Malahide and stuff like that. So we're trying to make the most of the day, Mike, you know?
Yeah, well, enjoy it. It's a beautiful day here, clouding over ever so slightly. That's probably on its way to you in about 3 or 4 hours.
Okay. So,
I can see the sun coming through your blinds there.
Next week is supposed to be 17 degrees.
Yeah. Carlo Withers says, get the barbecues out.
Yeah, can't wait, man. And you'll have a week off, won't you?
I will, yeah. Get the barbecue out. Get the midges eating your ears.
Oh, my.
Oh, fuck that. Eat indoors. Fuck that outdoors stuff.
having your dinner outside. That's the Irish. The Irish. It's not a barbecue. It's just having your dinner outside.
Yeah. Right. Good luck.
All right, Mike. Have a good day. And congratulations and all that kind of stuff.
Check it out. Yes. I had something else. Last Kingdom.
Oh.
Addictive.
Last Kingdom. Give us a very brief.
Oh, King Uhtred of Uhtredland and Uhtred, sort of oldie English.
I've seen it.
The Danes. Oh, you have you?
I've seen it. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it and gone, is that any good? Yeah? Is it good?
Eating, fighting, drinking, and as they call it, humping. But yeah, it is actually quite good. Very good, actually.
Okay.
A couple of real psycho Scandi actors in it. Like, you know, I will fight the Dane. Like, they really are like the fighting Dane. So I quite like it.
Okay.
Brilliant. And apparently Vikings Valhalla is the new thing to watch.
Okay.
So I'll try and get a couple of that episodes of that under my.
Two things to check out. I'll check them both out and maybe you can talk more about them next.
Okay.
Next week. We'll probably get together next week, Mike.
I'm sure we will. Yeah. Yeah. I'm off next week. So yeah.
And now with your new job, you'll have more structured.
Well, I'll know what I'm doing.
Yeah. We leave it there, Mike.
Lovely.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.